I am Marge Sturmstra, and I'm a professor at Calvin College in the Education Department. I have two of my colleagues here with me, David Smith and Steve McMullen. And I, plus Kara Sevensma, have been working for the last 5 years on a project called Technology and Educational Flourishing. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. We are doing three different sessions today, so you maybe heard David this morning, and I will be this afternoon, and then Steve is going to be following in the same room as well. We're just coming at the data from different angles. And this session is thinking about intentional instructional practices. And I'm going to be experimenting a little bit with a framework. But to set the stage, as part of this study, a few years ago, I was sitting in a high school literature class. They were meeting in the media center. There were about seven different groups sitting around small tables. And each individual student in the group was busily typing on their laptops. The small groups were tasked with analyzing a poem. And the poems varied according to the groups, from Casey at the Bat to the Raven, the Love Song of Alfred J. Prufrock, Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream. And this particular day, they were working on their individual research briefs, where they were going online, finding an article about their author or about the poem, and then summarizing it, and finding whatever questions they could that it answered. And then near the end of class, I saw them all getting up, printing it out, and putting it in a manila folder and handing it to their teacher. So this is a school that has one-to-one laptops, where every student has a laptop. They take the poem with them. They use them in class in varied amounts. And so it was just, there were some questions that I had as I observed there, wondering about the teacher's practices. Later on, the groups synthesized all of their research briefs, and then they developed a presentation to share with the whole group. So as we think about that, I'd like to talk about a framework that can help us examine it and examine teaching and the instructional decisions that are made around technology. So some of you might be familiar with the SAMR model, in which it says, let's look at the task, not the technology, and really says, you know, we start with an original task, and does the technology act as a substitute, like they're still doing the same task? Or does the technology allow for creation of new tasks all the way up to redefining the tasks? So this is one that's been around for a few years, and teachers have been using it. I'd like to examine another one that's more recently come into, it's been developed and discussed. And it's called the Triple E Framework. Liz Cole is from the University of Michigan. And she said, you know, let's think about three different levels of engage, enhance, and extend. And how does the technology assist in those different ways? Her focus was on the instructional strategies, much more than the tasks that students had to do. The SAMR model says we want to get to a point where it's student-centered learning. And Cole says, let's think about everything that we know from educational research and how does that work with technology? What sorts of questions do we need to be asking? So she's developed three different sets of questions, three questions for each part of it. So if we look at that, the first one is beginning, the first level is engaging in the learning goals. And the questions are, she hits right away on one that came up often in our study. With technology, we have to always think about that distraction word, right? How many times, not that we ever saw anyone distracted during our study, but I know that you've seen them in your classroom, and I joked about it as I stepped back here to say I'd like to see what's on your screen, right? Because
Many softwares are made to distract and to hold our attention. So Cole was saying, let's think first of all, does this technology allow students to focus on the task of the assignment or the activity with less distraction? Is it really keeping them on task? She also picks up on the whole motivation literature. Does it motivate students to start the whole process? If we don't ever get them into it, into the learning process, they don't move further into it. So she's asking, might that be the purpose here? Is that something at this first level that's helpful? And then she goes on to say, how about the students? Do they move from being passive receivers of whatever the content is, or are they actively engaged in it and processing it, and hopefully more socially, so that they are co-learners and working with each other, co-engagement on it? So that's the first level of engaging and getting them started in it, helping them focus on it, doing it together. The second level of enhancement of learning, ask the questions, first of all, content. Does this technology help students develop or demonstrate? So we've got two different things going on there. Develop a more sophisticated understanding of the content that they could not maybe without using the technology. Does it help them demonstrate a more sophisticated understanding of the content? So not just processing it, but also sharing it and showing it. Another step would be, does the technology create scaffolds? So sometimes, in order to get to that deeper understanding, we need some steps along the way. And some technologies are very good at providing those scaffolds. So maybe the question is that what's happening here? Will that help some students? And then also, does it create paths to demonstrate their understanding of the learning goals in a way they could not do with traditional tools, whether that's paper and pencil or cutting and coloring? But does it allow them to do something to demonstrate their understanding? So that's enhancement. It's taking what they're doing and strengthening it, deepening it, deepening their understanding of it, deepening their ways of showing what they have learned. And the third E is extending learning goals. Does the technology create opportunities for students to learn outside their typical school day? So when you go home with a laptop, can you continue learning at home? Or are there some other softwares that you say, all right, we can connect with each other and continue working on this? Does the technology create a bridge between school learning and everyday life experiences? So we're extending it from the classroom and what happens in the classroom, but hey, this is happening in my life. I can bring that into the classroom. And I want to share that. Maybe I've collected pictures of leaves. I could bring in the leaves, but they crinkle up. And maybe it helps me to take some pictures of them and then be able to look at them more carefully as well. Does the technology allow students to build skills? So here's extending not just content area skills, but also life skills like grit, like 21st century skills or digital citizenship skills. As we talk about collaboration, creativity, does that technology extend their learning so that they can build such skills? So there are some questions that I have with the framework. I think it's a very helpful piece to say it's taking research, it's digging into it. But in our research too, we have always had to ask the question of what's missing, right? So we always need to ask, is there something missing? Or who benefits from it? Are some people benefiting more than others? And just to take that critical lens and say, what else do we need to have here to focus on? And in much of our work, we have really been looking for what's happening in terms of student formation. And so today I'd like to just suggest this is something I'm still playing with that we have talked to very little about. But what would it be if we did a triple E framework plus?
Sure.
Chris is going to hand out this piece because I'm going to want you to be looking at it as well. So thinking about, let's add this edification one. And we can talk at the end. You can give your ideas. At this point, I said, let's make it around. That this is thinking about all of it. It's not another stage. It's not another step. It's not another level. It's what needs to be in all of it. So we can picture it as a fourth E, the edified E. Or we can picture it as these questions should belong in the blue box and the green box and the yellow box. Or maybe one of you says, wait, I have a much better idea. But as we look at edify, I'm thinking about student formation. And as we think about who students are, the edify means to instruct or inform in a way that improves the mind or character. Maybe it's more encourages student formation. Maybe it's more develops student character. We're wrestling with that. But how do we get at encouraging reflection and awe and pointing us to looking at what we're studying and saying, wow, this is amazing. This is what God has created, and this is truly amazing how God has gifted people. Does it allow students to practice community? So not just cooperation, not just working together on a project, but real community where you have to talk with each other and support each other and challenge each other. Does that technology allow students to practice that? Does it support opportunities for students to live out their place as stewards, as justice seekers? So that's a bit of that extension, right? But giving a particular focus to who we believe students are called to be, who we are called to be. So as we look at those, I'd like to give a try at examining a few situations, a few practices, some stories from the school. Again, it's been a 5-year research project. It's a K-12 school, Christian school system. They have a 1-to-1 technology program with tablets in elementary school. Then 5th through 12th, there are laptops that students use at school and at home in grades 6 through 12. It should be noted that we went into this trying to describe what's happening there. We made observations. We analyzed documents. We didn't go about this as a control school with variables. We didn't try a variable. It was not an experimental piece to say, all right, if we do this instructional strategy with technology, what's going to happen? That's not what we did. And this was meant to be a descriptive study. So I think keep that in mind too, that that's very much the description and analyzing what's happening there. So this question for this presentation, what does it look like when teachers leverage digital technologies to engage students, enhance student learning, extend student learning beyond the classroom, and encourage student formation or edification? There are many different aspects of this study. There were artifacts and focus groups and surveys. This presentation focused just on a few classroom observations. There were 76 of them through randomly selected classrooms where the teachers did not know we were coming until that morning, and they did not know at what point in the day we were coming because we just wanted to see what happens in a classroom. And then case studies were pulled from those and that we said, here are some people who are really thinking intentionally about this, and we followed them for a unit. There were 6 of those case studies. So as we think about that high school literature project, if you look at that triple E framework, this is where you get to do the work and I get to do the listening. Where do you see enhancement? Do you see any enhancement? I'm sorry, engagement, first of all. Let's start with engagement. Is there any way
that the technology is helping students engage in the project.
You can ask questions, wonderings about what's going on with it as well. So it's a small group project. They're doing research briefs where they're typing on documents on their laptops. They also have on their laptops articles that they have pulled from their library's resources. They type the summary. They have a template that says, here are the questions that you need to be seeking answers to. And they print that summary at the end of class and hand it in. Later on, the group individuals will read each other's summaries as well. And then they'll synthesize their research into a presentation. And their presentation needs to have, I would say it's multimedia, but does not necessarily mean that it's all digitally based, because they have a wide variety of options for it. Anyone see anything from engagement?
Presumably that second one makes sense. The technology motivates students to start the learning process because maybe they've chosen a particular article because they want to, or maybe it's just of a reading level that is accessible to them, so it won't turn them off to that. Because it sounds like, you know, you and three other people are reading the same poem, but you're all reading different resources about that poem. Is that correct?
Correct.
So that can maybe be one way if it's there.
Okay, so they have some options in what they're choosing to read about it and the reading level. Other places that you see engagement, that the technology is using, being used to engage.
Were those other articles that they were reading, were they chosen by themselves, or were they assigned?
They were chosen. So they chose the poem, or they gave input to the poem.
Okay.
And then they had to find the articles based on some resources that were given.
Just thinking about how technology has helped you find articles quickly, it does create less time on the task. Maybe it's quicker to find the resources and articles. And it's all right at your fingertips.
Okay, so that it's right there.
Yeah.
So less time on task. Or maybe less time searching for articles and more time on...
Sure.
I'm writing about it, reading about it.
Are you asking how the laptops increase this, or just the lesson in general?
Because this is the EEE framework is looking at the technology.
Yeah.
So we're looking at the ways that the technology is used in this instance. Is it being used to enhance or in further in deeper engagement?
So like, does the database count, or is it just the laptops?
Well, I guess I'm even saying, like, printing out the summaries and reading summaries is co-learning, and then synthesizing is also co-learning.
Okay, all right. So it's supporting that. So I'm just going to open it up to, that was engagement. What about the others? Enhancement, or extension, or edification? Which questions are being answered with this one? In a sense, we're evaluating, saying, what about the technology used in this project?
I would say enhancement, because it's deepening their understanding by looking up all these other articles that go along with the poem.
Okay, so they have access to these articles that they might not otherwise have access to. Other thoughts? Does it extend the school day? Does it extend learning beyond the school day?
If they choose to.
If they choose to. But she had them print at the end of class. That cuts it off.
Right.
And they can still learn for their own benefit, but they can't learn to add to their project.
So they could continue on their next project, but that research brief is printed and finished. But yes, many of them would, the next day or overnight, they would look for the next article so that when they got in class, they would be ready to look at their article. Yeah. So there is extension there. I think it was very interesting that they printed at the end of class. We'll get to that too. Right? Okay, anything else that you notice? Anything edifying?
Maybe they had the synthesizing their, like, all of their research together. So they had to have the discussion about it.
Right. And navigate, how are we going to make a presentation for it as well?
I think they can, you know, without doing the research on the authors, they could speculate as to why, you know, why was this poem written, what was the motivation behind it, but by doing the research, they might be able to get in the head of the authors more and discover, you know, why they wrote it, or get someone else's opinion on why they wrote this, or how they put it together.
And even different opinions.
Right.
Right? To say, all right, now we have to figure out this article says this, and this article says this. And also, who are these authors and what are we learning about them beyond just the poem, too? Let's hear some excerpts from the initial interview with the teacher. So one of the big things, this unit is a combination of a lot of the skills that we've worked on this year. So all year we've been reading, and I've been showing them how we should learn something about the author first before we try to interpret the work. So that's one of the things they're going to be doing. I hear some edification in there. I'm learning. We've been doing close readings and using different reading strategies, so we need to do that on their piece that they're given. And then we've added the research component to it, and then the presentation. So goals would be, first of all, just to demonstrate that they have learned these reading strategies, that they can analyze a piece, that they have learned how to look at an author and pay attention to what we know about the author and apply that when interpreting the piece. Then to further these research skills, they've had some research as freshmen, and we've done scaffolding things and got it in different classes. So just keep on working on those research skills and really to work on making inferences from the text, from the research that they're reading, and, okay, how does that apply to my piece? What parts of this can I use in my presentation? I'm supposed to be looking for these guiding questions, so what can I get from my research that fulfills these goals that I've been given? And there we hear that a template that helps keep those questions in front of them as well. And then the presentation skills, which we haven't worked on this year. So public speaking, and how do you do that? How do you make a presentation that's interesting for people? We're really trying to discourage them from having a PowerPoint and talking and having lots of words on the screen. We don't want that. And so another goal would be just to be creative, to interpret this piece to show the personality of the piece and to show the personality of the presenters. So they're encouraged to come up with an artifact, to create something. So just to be creative. Then there's another goal. There's multiple goals in this unit. It's just the teamwork skills. The first couple days, we'll talk about a team as opposed to a group. You're just put in groups all the time in school, but this is a team, and it's a real-life skill to be successful in a team of people. And how do you work with other people, and how can you be a successful team? So we get some insights from the back there, right? To hear some more enhancement, some more extending it as well with the teamwork skills. Yes.
So what about the technology enabled them to work on these teamwork skills more so than they would have already in a different way? Because it seems like the printing off is the part that I'm getting caught at. Because it seems like they did all this technology separately, but the stuff that's together is, although printing is a technology, is a little bit less technological.
Right.
Or at least farther up on the SAMR model, or not as EEEE.
Right. Go ahead.
And I think when you're building a team, if you have some sort of a document that the whole team can comment and add to and be collaborative, that would be something that technology is very useful in.
Okay. So that's a really good question. Why is this happening? Because that is true, right? It can be used like that. So we're going to read this one and then another one, and I think you'll get some more hints.
Right. And remember, this is intentional choices. She's making some very intentional choices. Yeah, then as far as research, what they're doing right now, I want them to type it, because I found they write a lot more if you let them type it. She's working with this particular group of students. Because their handwriting now is so terrible and so hard for some of them. So they will write a lot more. So that's one thing. And then it's faster. It's so much faster for them to type. And also some of the practical things. You can copy the link and citations that you find on the document. So efficiency is why I'm having them type the work. Then efficiency for me in grading is what I'm having print what they do. She talked more about saying, I have 120 students who are doing these research briefs, and I need to give them comments by tomorrow. If I have to open 120 documents, open and close, and comment on them, that takes time, that in between. So I like the paper pieces. That's for her part of it, right? And for student learning to be able to give the comments. But I think it's interesting, too, that she's saying they are getting their ideas out more. They're able to express themselves more when they're typing, because they write more. The other reason I have them printed is at the end, when they read each other, is at the end, when they read each other's research again, it is too distracting to them to go and look at everybody's Google Doc. Honestly, it might not be that interesting the whole time. It might be very easy to get distracted and go to another website that you have opened and not do what you're supposed to do. So in this way, they will have it on paper. One paper in front of them, just read the certain parts. I think it's just easier to navigate it, too. If you have a huge, long Google Doc of somebody else's work, just finding what they're supposed to be looking at could be more difficult. So I think it really depends on what the task, what the goal of the task is.
The other thinking that I have is that although you can go into the peer history, when you print it out, you do definitely have actual drafts. Mm-hmm. But you could have your first, second, and third draft all be a final draft in the end.
Right, that would be helpful to be able to see, but to have the printed draft.
So here's where she said, this is a place where I don't want to use the digital technology. I want them to be able to look. And another time she said, they just skim, they just scroll, they just skip very quickly through it. And so she's saying, I want them to read each other's work. I want them to slow down and to have those papers in front of them and pick them up and synthesize them. It's a much better way for the technology to come to, that's a better technology than the digital technology. I think those are those intentional pieces. This is a group of teachers who have taught long enough with it that it's not just a blind gotta use technology. But how do we leverage technology in important ways? Any other comments or thoughts on that little vignette? For their final presentation, some of them had someone playing the piano while they read the poem. And some of them had it up on the screen. Some of them made a birch tree, right? So for Robert Frost, birches. And used those as artifacts. There was a whole variety. One group did sock puppets for Casey at the bat, right? They made a little video of that. So it wasn't that they had to use the technology, that they had to do it, but that they could use it to express what they felt was coming out of their poem, right? What reflected the author's purpose and the mood of the poem as well. Okay, let's take a look at second grade social studies.
This is from a case study where they are studying the history of the city in which they live. And it's a teacher-created website that is serving as the text
class. And they will sit together up in the front of the room, and the teacher has her tablet on her lap and it's displayed on the screen, and the second graders are sitting at her feet with their tablets. They're on the screen as well. I mean, they're on that same website as well. And they'll read the webpage together, and you notice students, when they first begin reading, they adjust the size of the text so that they can see it well. That fits. It doesn't all look the same for all of them. And they read it, and on each page there are a number of pictures. And so when they're looking at those pictures, you'll see them zoom in on different parts of it and move it around and really examine these historical. They're either photographs or they're line drawings from the History Museum. Most of them end with a question. A question like, if you were moving away, what three items would you bring? So students need to think about that. Another was, later, the Native Americans sold their land to the settlers and moved away. Why do you think they did that? Was that a good decision? This is on one when there was conflict between the settlers and the people living there originally. So on the website then was a place for comments where the second graders would type their response to the question. And it's almost, I don't know if it does it on all the phones, but I know on my phone when I'm typing something, I get three options, right? So if I start typing today, I start typing T-O, and immediately I get today or two or whatever. And the second graders were really good at sounding out those first few letters and quickly looking over and saying, oh, there's the word that I want. And so that they could complete their response in that way. After a few times of doing the reading and responding, reading and then responding, the teacher said, now let's think about responding to each other. We're going to read each other's comments and respond. Because first they just read them. Before she had them post originally, she said, okay, where is this? This is going out on the web. Anyone can read this. So what does that say about the name that you use? How much of your name you use? The words that you use. Are you writing as it's written that Jesus would write? And then when they came to responding to peers' comments, there were those questions again. What's going to help your peers? What will help them in their thinking about this as well? So here's just a little response to that last question. It's really hard to see it. But one person says they should try to teach each other their languages. The settlers should have left instead of the Indians because it was the Indians' home and they built it. They should try to learn each other's languages. They should both leave. And that's how they were posting. These are second graders thinking about this conflict between people in a place. And so how do you resolve it? I'll give you some of her comments. You can see. She's talking about the unit and when they first started teaching this unit, when they first got it. When we first started, every lesson ended with, we had a little book, which was basically coloring pictures. You know, there's a place for that. They like to color. But it was basically a photocopied coloring page book of the different things. After we got tablets, then I put it on a website. She had also, and I don't feel that field trip to the museum is worth the time and the kids aren't engaged in it. She talked about they did two different field trips. One was to a museum that had lots of pictures and someone who talked to the students, to the second graders. And the other museum was one more like a living history museum where they went and they tried on clothes and they did some writing and that sort of thing. And she said this particular first one, she felt she could better take those pictures, put them on the website, and let students engage with them in that way. And I wanted to, some of the pictures of those things, and I wanted to make, plus we had a new second grade teacher who didn't have the background that I have, so I thought, I'm going to put the whole unit on the website, on the Weebly website, and have everything written so she could teach it without having the background information. So that's been a huge thing. It's easy.
all of the kids can have access to the photos. And then when we're doing that, I thought, this is a great way to put digital citizenship in here too. Talking about your writing in here, anybody can see this. Oops. What pieces did you pick up on here? What different levels? You know, where did you see enhancement, engagement, edification, extension? How's the technology working? How's it being used?
Really, she had all three levels of the edification. I mean, they were, you know, reflecting on, kind of speculating on what, you know, they should have done. They were practicing community by responding in kind ways to the classmates. Kind of putting themselves in the place of the people they were reading about. So I think that was really excellent how the teacher did that.
What's interesting with those responses, so if you think about sitting in a second grade class when you're having a discussion and you ask a question, this is not even in a second grade class, right? It's all the way through. How many answers do you get? Maybe you take 4 or 5 or 6. All of them answered, except there were two that it didn't get posted because of some technological fluke, right? But everyone's answers were there. Even a student who had a difficult time communicating could be part of that conversation too. So that's a good point there. What else do you notice about any of those levels?
I thought it was interesting that the kids were more engaged with the photos on the tablet than they were the same photos at a museum. At the museum, just looking at photos was boring. But on the tablet, it was interesting.
Yeah, maybe that closer look, mm-hmm. right? Being able to really explore it. Because sometimes it's really hard when you're, you know, not as tall as the rest of some people to stand and look at a picture. What else?
I like how she talked about the digital citizenship, teaching those skills during this, I guess, not necessarily a computer class where you're teaching it specifically, but it taught it through the lesson because that wasn't extending, that this is just foundational for digital citizenship that hopefully lasts years, high school.
It's living life, right? This is something that we need to be doing. Any other thoughts on this one? All these intentional choices. And I think it's important, too, to know that this wasn't their whole study. She also got a trunk of items from one of the museums where they were trying on clothes and they were taking pictures and putting things together. Right? It was a very physical piece, too. I think that's another question we need to ask is, how are we learning? Is that full body learning, or is it just looking with our eyes at pictures? So how do we balance it as well?
I have a question.
Yes.
Just the genius of using the technology to empower another teacher. Like, I'm not sure, like, when I look at the verbs, enhancing, extending, I'm thinking about the student. I'm not quite sure how to fit that in the picture, but clearly that's going to have an impact on all of these things.
Right. Well, that's what this is looking at.
It's like
the triple E is about students, right?
Right.
But that, I think in both cases already we've seen, the first teacher made a decision of when to use digital technology or not to stay sane. And this teacher too said, how do I help a colleague? Right. So that's another, we could make another framework. Empower. Okay. Right. So here's these last two are a bit shorter because they were just from a classroom observation. A high school science class, measuring velocity of an object. So they begin in the classroom and the teacher says, we've been working on velocity and you did a lab before. Now we're going to do thinking about, you're going to predict, if you're going to make a graph of velocity versus time, what would that graph look like? So in their small, they all head down
And he also says, after you make that prediction and then you try it, and I give approval, then you're going to go on to the next step. So they go down to this large open area. They're all in groups of three. They set up one person's laptop. They put the GoPro camera on the top and open the Logger Pro software that goes along with it that can show the graph of what's happening. One student then, so one is watching the laptop, the other is there to provide advice, and the third one then takes a box cover or a plastic cover and needs to walk forward at different rates so that the computer records what's happening on the screen. Are you accelerating? Are you maintaining speed, maintaining velocity, right? So they're physically trying to say, all right, we're going to predict that if I speed up and walk to it, what does that graph look like? Some of you are really good at this, right? But across time, what's happening if I'm speeding up? What is velocity versus time look like? So they do that. Their teacher comes along, says, great, you got it, figured that out. The next step is saying, okay, now the laptop is giving you a graph. And now you need to replicate that graph. So that's why you see there are two different lines. Theirs didn't look quite as smooth as that. It was a little more dead, right? But can you walk and can you make it do that same thing? So they're discussing and figuring out together. What do you have to do? No, back up. No, go forward, slow down. Right? All discussing that together. Talk to me. Engaging, enhancing, extending, edifying. How's the technology being used? I do turn and talk.
Enhance number three, you can't do that with the traditional tools or the traditional classroom tools.
I want to say just made it possible. Forget enhancing. I'm trying to remember my physics experience with, you know, speeds of sound and different things. And
you couldn't do that.
No GoPros.
Right.
I think that the actual trying to mirror the graph is really good because when the kids walk out of the classroom, they're thinking, oh no, if they're increasing their rate of speed, they can actually visualize this is what it's doing on the graph. Mm-hmm. So it brings them to a higher level of understanding rather than just being able to look at a graph and say, this is a graph of velocity, this is time, you know what I mean? Before, I feel like this Logger Pro, they could identify the parts, but they didn't necessarily have that deeper understanding because they actually did it and saw the results.
Is it embodied?
Yeah.
Understanding.
It's those kids that are kinesthetic learners, often moving, more engaging.
Right. So it gets them into it, right? Who might say, I don't care about graphs. I'm not good at reading graphs.
Could be with the practicing community too, if I'm understanding it right, because people are watching the screen and telling the other person how to move. So
you have to work together.
I feel like graphs are a lot of media, and you know, maybe if they're looking at even an MLive site or something, you know, they can say, "Oh, I've seen a graph like that before. I've actually done something that produces something like that," and they can make connections outside of the classroom.
Okay, so it's done in an actual. Something that they're doing. Okay. Good. That one was just fun to see because you're right, it's something that you can't do without. You do need those two extra pieces. But it's also that deeper engagement, right? That they're going to understand it so much better. We'll go to second grade. So in second grade, students were in the middle of an inquiry project where they had planted seeds, so they had a couple seeds. They had a control plant and an investigation plant. So the control plant was where they were just observing it to say how much light, water, soil, right, how are those variables impacting it.
But then the investigation plan, they had to choose their own thing. So some students said, what happens when no light is given to it? Or what happens if I water with hot chocolate? Great questions, aren't they? And each day they would track their observations in their presentation software on their tablets. So they take a picture of the plant for each observation, put it into their presentation software, and then on the next page they would take observations about what notes they had. And then they were getting to the point of making predictions. Do I think that watering with hot chocolate is going to really help that particular student talk? I think I have the smelliest plant after several days. Self-paced in that, not over many days, but that each student worked on their own and did their own pictures, right? It wasn't like everybody took a picture now. Not all five, right? They were each doing their own. They would help each other a bit with the software if they needed help, but pretty much it was just on their own. And then the teacher said that they were going to share their journal, or they would be sharing it with each other and also with their parents. She encouraged them to share it with their parents as it was going along. So, where do you see edification, engagement, enhancement, extension?
Community element again, and sharing with each other, sharing with parents. Definitely some extension outside the classroom. Maybe they have a parent with a green thumb who's going to be like, oh yeah, I tried some experimentation myself.
Right. Or they can at least show them the pictures, right? Because I got this plant growing in school, and you should see it, right? It's really cool, it's looking great. And, well, you can look at it and see it there. Other ideas, other thoughts? Enhancement? You're nodding your head, why do you say that?
Well, one of the predictions are definitely, enhancing just the overall thing that you can do predictions, but the whole journal to be able to reach out to the audience.
I mean, the method is similar to the, traditional method, but instead of having to draw it each time, it's more precise, they get a picture, it's quicker, so they're spending less time on the same information.
Yeah, I observed one of my students last semester, and this student took the third graders outside, and they had to draw a plant. And that plant just kind of looked like a little blob or a cloud or something, right? It's difficult to draw precisely. And to be able to say, here's how my plant changed over time. Whereas to see the photos encourages that closer look too. And being able to notice across time as well. So let's talk a bit about what does this offer to us? Frameworks are supposed to be able to help us with making decisions about instruction, decisions about how we see the world. What does the triple E or the triple E plus bring to your thinking about teaching with technology? Does it help focus it? Do the questions challenge you to look at things?
I would say using the SAMR model, you're kind of plugging in your lesson or activity into one of those categories, whereas this one, you can hit all four of those categories with one lesson. It's not just categorizing it, but it's giving you a framework to develop the lesson.
As you're working on it, asking those questions, what can I do in these different areas?
I've got these three, but how can I, I don't have this piece, how could I take this activity and add this one component in so they have even a more rich experience with it.
I had a quick question on the last one with the second graders. Do they each have their own iPad? Because I'm just thinking when you take does note the date on it, but if they had a shared device, they wouldn't know it was theirs, and they'd have to label the photos.
Right.
So just like file management at that age also.
This was, they each had their own individual tablets, so that helps a lot. Yeah. A benefit. Good question. The framework. As you're looking at thinking about it, have any of you been thinking of your own technological integrations? And have you been saying, where am I on this, or where are my uses on there? Something I did not say when I talked about the Edify piece. With these other three, Kolb has chosen to say, does the technology? And for the Edify, I chose to say, does the technology use? Because it's not always about the technology, but it's the way that we decide to implement it. And the technology carries some things with it, but also we have choices then to encourage some aspects more than others. So we talked about distractibility or attention. How do we mitigate that? What is missing from this? There's something that you think, you know what? You really have to think about this.
There are parts of technology that I think people assume that students can do, like center or like bold or highlight or, you know, those kinds of things. And then, like, where is it in there? I mean, all those words sound fabulous. And then, you know, things like centering or, you know, labeling a folder. I think it's vital, like the background work even of that. Teaching them that graphic software, I wondered how much time that would have taken, and it was an entire lesson devoted to that prior to an example lesson. Those kinds of things, I think, are a consideration as well.
So there's a whole question of how do we scaffold the use of the technology, or how do we scaffold the skill development in there as well? Good point.
Similar to that, what does this technology enable you to do later? So if you're initially teaching the lesson about bolding and centering, or in my case, how to Google things, what does this enable you to do later? Because it might not be edifying right now, but it might enable you to practice community building later. Because you have to be able to learn how to type well before you engage people online, let's say, or something like that.
Some of that extend through.
And then, does the technology allow students to build skills that they can use in their everyday lives? So that's a piece of it. I do think that is a really important aspect to say. We need to think about what it takes to get them to this point, too. And how do we build those skills along the way?
Like, I guess I want to make clear my point is I value those kinds of skills. But I think that when you see words like that, oh, why are you spending, like, you know, all this time teaching them how to, you know, center, that kind of thing. And then you hear later, oh, I wish that, I didn't realize they didn't know how to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the high school teachers in the school system were very grateful to the elementary teachers who had done so much skill building along the way. And it comes in just like that second grade teacher of, well, in both second grade teachers, right? Using the presentation software very simply, putting a picture in and typing in it. And the other one in thinking about that digital citizenship piece. So we build on it also. So, are there any questions or thoughts about who benefits from the use of this framework?
What's going on in the kids' hearts?
Mm-hmm. Say more about that.
I'm not sure I have much to say about that.
All right.
You know, I mean, we're the purpose, the most important thing, whatever the, I mean, it's very important that we're developing our kids in their faith journeys and all of that. And what, like, I mean, in the bigger picture, it's fascinating to me. So how do we see technology contributing to that and enhancing and extending and engaging that? As opposed to kind of the, you know, it'd be very easy to say, the dangers of all that kind of stuff, right? Whatever. Think about in the other direction. How could there be a powerful, positive influence in terms of where they're at in their hearts? Like, I mean, there was evidence in that one student, that one second grader's response, and, right, about the settlers and, again, that's not inherent in the technology, I don't think, even though
maybe it allowed the expression of it?
Exactly.
Right. That comment might not have come out otherwise.
Correct.
Right. So maybe it's in what ways did the technology use encourage faith development or expression of faith? Or in what ways does it allow us to see what's going on in kids' hearts?
One thing I observe, working in high school, when you talk about the opportunity for all kids to respond, I mean, that technology gives such a powerful opportunity for that, as opposed to the three loud mouths of the most popular kids, and teachers allowing them to dominate feedback, and then just taking advantage of that to move on the lesson. That, to me, is a huge opportunity that technology gives. And hopefully helps kids to express and grow.
And in hearing, like, I think about the discussion board for the class that I have, when my students post their journals there, you hear every voice and every experience, and they're reading each other's, and they're being shaped by each other's writing and thoughts. Right? It's powerful.
Are we including the other kinds of technology, or is this just digital technology? Because I feel like when you ask these questions, does the technological tool aid students? If the answer is no, then where do you move on from here? Or is it to say, well, you shouldn't deny your technology at all then? Or in this case, the printing example is fantastic, and I would have done the same thing. I like the printed page for certain things. But where does that fit into this framework? If you consider paper to be a technology, then it works well. But just making sure that everyone who uses this framework is using the same definition of the word technology, and is it digitally exclusive or not?
That's a really good question. I think it's meant to get at those digital things, because that seems to be where all the questions are and next, right?
But I think we should, especially if the answer is no, it does not digitally, well, maybe yes, it will physically or with something
else. And that teacher, too, it wasn't in one of her quotes, but she also said, the reason I have them print at the end of class is because otherwise, because the technology extends learning, they can sit and chat during class because they'll finish it at night and turn it in at night. So she said, I want them to be focused and do it in class and print it at the end, and then I can also give them feedback. I think we have to look at, which technology works well for this piece. What are our goals? And I think that's what's really helpful here. Saying, what are our goals? What are our learning goals? What are our formational goals? And how can the different types of technologies help us? So, thanks for your thoughts and participation. Steve, yours is going to be on part of those?
It'll be distraction, screen time, and inappropriate content on the internet.
So the other side of it as well. Right. Good. Thank you very much.